Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wisdom.
Yes, sir. How are you?
One quick question. I suffer from arthritis, and there's a lot of elderly people that do suffer from arthritis in the back. And they usually go to the beach and have at least a swim for hour and a half on the morning and afternoon. And the beach time is cut out. And I was wondering if the Prime Minister could do something about it to allow us at least an hour and a half on the morning and one on the evening.
Yeah. So I got you, and I would say to you that I would encourage her to go even further and not say that every person is entitled to an hour and a half on morning or evening, but every person is entitled to an hour and a half, period, so that it wouldn't be a situation where everybody who goes to the beach crowds the beach on mornings and evenings, but that you yourself can determine whether you may be a midday swimmer, and certainly if you're arthritic, it might not be a bad idea to swim in the midday because it's warmer. So that might be the time that's best for you. And I do feel that there is a basis for argument that we need a regime to cover exercise and also to cover sea bathing, because for many people, sea bathing is therapeutic and it's a form of daily exercise that helps to keep them sane. So I'm with you on that, sir.
I know it usually helps me, and I can tell you this arthritis in your back is terrible.
Yeah. You can't see me, but my t-shirt today is sympathizing entirely with your concern, and it speaks directly to the need for beach.
All right, well, I would like the Prime Minister as soon as possible if he can clear this on the air for me.
Okay. Well, no, she will clear it on the air by now telling you it's not possible. But I'm saying that I think we need to make an appeal for it to be possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right, sir, thank you so much for calling. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, hi, good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
Hi, not too bad. Good to hear you, sir.
I'm glad to hear you, too.
Yeah, somebody said some bad things about you last time, boy.
Man, wait, what happened?
It turns into Calypso. How you didn't know about the cholera, the polio outbreak.
Well, you see why I didn't run that.
And that, if you don't know about that, you don't know nothing about Calypso.
Well, that's true, but
lady, the lady call you a clip.
Like, right? That's the thing, this thing. I wonder how much she know, though. But anyhow.
She said she know that, but she knew about that incident. The fact you didn't know meant you were a clip. I have never heard a person being referred to as a kite. Break her confidentiality. But
That's not an issue. What I know, though, I know that, before I go on, let me join with you, though, to offer Sue and Ron, who is a star son-in-law, and Sue is a star daughter in Cleveland, you know, very, very close and all that. Let me offer them my condolences, right, on behalf of me and my family. Myself and a star was very close till I break ranks, okay? Mm-hmm. I will still give him the occasional visit. And I would still give him the occasional call. I didn't call him for a while, though, but I was getting daily reports or ever so often reports on Astar well-being, okay?
He wasn't well recently?
I don't think he was bedridden or anything like that.
Okay.
But he had one or two issues which I really qualified to go into.
All right, I just wondered how, because I hadn't heard of him or about him for a while, and I wonder whether he... You know, he took to his bed or what? Yeah.
No, I don't think he was bedridden at all. Because a friend of mine who spoke to him up to yesterday afternoon said he spoke to Astar, you know, and he was quite surprised when Astar was no longer with us in the evening.
He died in the evening or in the night?
It had to be evening. It had to be the evening, right? Like I said, we enjoy much battles there at the Unity Bar.
I imagine
And I did begging for one thing. When if a scientist could have found a way to let a star write in hand and memory, right, pass it down to me. But that can't happen now, right? And, you know, but a star was the life of the party at the Unity Bar. You understand? And he had a familiar saying, oh, you think your bar with clothes on.
I remember that.
When a star dismiss you in that way, you will dismiss her. But I will miss a star, you know, and I only hope, though. Well, star, I don't know if it's possible that people like me, that was very close to a star, you understand, if the floodgates would open and we could give a star the kind of send off that we would.
I don't think
that
would be possible.
No. I don't think so either, but nevertheless, a star had a good life.
I am hopeful that perhaps his ashes can be preserved, or maybe the family is inclined to cremation and the ashes can be reserved until such time as such a send-off. I certainly would be willing to go back, be anxious to go back to the Unity Bar for such a purpose.
Of course.
And it would be good to see you in that environment again.
I tell you already, I still leave a lot of good friends in the Democratic Labour Party. However, though, one of the reasons that I leave the Democratic Labour Party, you know, mm-hmm. is for this, some of the same rhetoric I hear now from the Barbados Labour Party. Mm-hmm. And it repeats itself this morning in your quizzing of Fred Abrams. You know, I get tired after a year or two. Constantly hearing the Democratic Labour Party referring to the last 14 years. Mm-hmm. All right? The last 14 years when I had this, when I had that. I get tired of that coming from the Democratic Labour Party. I do not listen to debates anymore in Barbados because of the same reason today. And Fred Abrams is guilty of that, right? Every time you have to debate, he's telling you about 2008 to 2018, right? According to them, the last decade. You know, and I'm getting tired of that kind of rhetoric, all right? And when it suits politicians, they tell me, hey, government is a continuation. You know, so give me a break. Spare me with that sort of foolishness. All right? Get on with the job. You come to me. You beg me for your support. You tell me you're going to do better. You could get the job done. You understand? I really don't want to hear the frivolous excuses that I think. I know the Water Department been going through the batting on a sticky wicket for a long time. But at the same time, you tell me you could get the job done. Mm-hmm. You understand where I came from, Peter?
I got you.
So don't come tell me every time it suits you, tell me about from 2008 to 2018. That ain't making, that don't excite me in no way at all, shape, form, or fashion. Right? To use Patrick King words, you know? It don't excite me at all.
You call it some interesting support today.
No, not really. Yeah. Well, I like to hear Patrick with that form, shape, or fashion, you know?
I'm with you in this regard. Look, the issue of water has been one that was with us for too long, mm-hmm. and I think it's particularly egregious now because people have so little else to rely on. Mm-hmm. The excuses are wearing thin because I think that people in St. John expected that the water that they have been deprived of for the last 20 years or so. Because people in St. John have been having water issues from back in the 90s, from what I recall. Right? I don't think it's time it come to an end, no. I mean, if it is that you campaign and you say, I will fix those problems for you.
Right.
Then, you know, you've got to be able to fix
it.
The minister did say, subsequent to the ending of the conversation via WhatsApp, that he does appreciate the concern you have just raised. And the fact that, you know, we need to get past the stage of making excuses and that they will make a greater effort to demonstrate their seriousness. And that was the important point about his WhatsApp, that they will make a greater effort to demonstrate their seriousness, especially as it relates to the desalination plant.
Yeah, and last but not least, really, your last caller, mm-hmm. Mr. Gill. Mm-hmm. At least it sounded like him. He didn't identify himself. But Mr. Gill got a unique voice, man. So he can't be mistaken in any way. He was in public life in Barbados. So he grew on us. That kind of rhetoric just now is the kind of rhetoric that I ran away from in all to do with this COVID-19. All right? This is the things that I don't want appear on my phone. I want to hear the professional people speak to me and the professional people from Barbados. All right? And because I think they've been doing a good job this far, all right? I don't want to hear the heavy overtones coming from people that ain't in the mix, all right? you're confusing people like me. I'm glad to see the Harrison Point hospital
open.
Our facility is up and running, and from what all reports, I understand is a fantastic facility. I will hope, though, when the dust is settled in Barbados, gone back to normalcy, I will like that it bears the name of Richard Carter. What do you say?
You mean up there?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm supporting that.
Oh, well, fair enough.
I think the jury on Richard Carter's performance as Zara is still out for me. I can tell you that in all honesty.
But I like Richard Carter because...
It can bear somebody else's name, but I don't know if...
But I like Richard Carter because when it comes to you, it comes to you from a professional standpoint.
But that's fine. That's fine, but...
to you and all...
That's fine. That's fine, but the tone sometimes, I think the tone has turned off a lot of people. And that to me is something that... I mean, I have the greatest of respect for Richard professionally. There are few researchers that I have more respect for than him. But I think that's the thing you gotta be careful of, you know.
Fair enough, but
communication is a funny thing, and a lot of times you can have very good intentions, and it can be lost in the mix of the way you put your message across.
Fair enough, because he's not a copycat, he's not thinking about guys.
And I am a half a researcher, a half a communicator as well. So I have to mix it up. So I get where you're coming from.
But how
you feel about the rum and the exercise though?
It don't move me one way, next.
You don't drink rum?
I don't move me. I don't really care if they sell rum or cigarette.
You don't drink rum?
Don't drink rum. As a matter of fact, let me put this and make it absolutely clear and abundantly clear.
You don't drink rum?
Well, Astor can't prove it. No, he can't. But a few of my layman friends at the UNC Bar will tell you all I want is one rum and coke, a brown rum and coke, and I good. I think that the best drink that ever was created, a rum and coke.
I'm willing to identify with you in that regard.
Give me one legged. All right? I'm not big on a beer or a whiskey or gin on and so, but a good rum and coke. And you said yes, so I got to go.
Okay. Right? All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Peter. I am great. Despite the trials and tribulation and in the midst of the COVID virus, I am great.
Good.
What about you?
Me, I'm here hanging in. Blessed, as they say.
Okay. my name is Dale Laurel.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from Sherbourne in St. John.
Mm-hmm.
I first want to extend my condolences to the families of Astor B. Watts and Mr. Joe.
Edgel.
Edgel?
Yeah.
Condolences on behalf of me and my family. Mr. Wickham, this is a year now that we in Sherbourne have not been getting any water at all. From since March 2019, and there were times that we went months without any water coming through our taps. Last year, September, October, Water 30 sent through a truck, complete with bullhorns and all, informing the residents that there would be a water rationing program.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are saying that, well, the areas in Sherbourne and Wilson Hill and the surrounding areas, as Clifton, Venture, et cetera, water will be on every Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Okay, after going a whole year, I mean, months without the water, then they announced that last year, September, October, we could live with that because we know that there's a drought and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
So we could live with that. Would you believe that from the since September or October they announced that drought, that rationing program, we have not had water since then at all? Well, don't let me say at all. For the most part, we have not had water coming through our taps. The last time we saw water, Mr. Wickham, is a couple of weeks, about four to five weeks ago, when there was a big burst near some part of Christchurch. I don't know if that was the water then that they could not push the Christchurch, that was pushing up this side. But you get water, well, you still get it sporadically. It wasn't like every day you get it, you found your water on. Because sometimes you still, every other 2 days, you get water on. From 4-5 weeks ago, it gone back to the same thing where you're not getting water coming through the taps again. As I said, Mr. Wickham, we understand that there's a drought. And we ain't got no problem with that. We called, we wrote letters, we sent petitions, all to no avail. The information that the minister, Mr. Abrahams, gave this morning as to the reason for the water woes playing St. John and the other parishes was never communicated to us. As I said, we called, we sent letters, we sent petitions, etc. Nobody has found it yet possible to come to us and hold a meeting and say, well, look, this is the problem that Water Authority is experiencing. The COVID came about, and when the COVID came about, the curfew was being put in place, and you start hearing about the social distancing. We had a reply. I wouldn't call the person name, but we had a reply from someone. Okay, we understand that the social distancing part, but I mean, there are advances, there have been advances in technology where you don't have to meet now in person with people. So even that kind of media could have worked for the residents up here. And, you know, just let me know what it is that is going on, what you are experimenting, and what's not. All of this information.
Go ahead, sir. Finish.
Pardon me?
No, finish your point. Finish your point.
This information that the minister communicated this morning on your program could have been communicated to us so that we know from early what it is we are dealing with and what they are dealing with. I talked about, well, on Facebook, I talked about doing a rationing program. Where is the rationing program that they promised us, you know, that we could even live with that? If we get water every other day, at least we can plan for the days that we are getting water. But to be giving us no water at all for months on end is simply not good enough. But instead, well, let me say this too. Instead, the minister would apologize and let us know, well, it's not my fault, it's not anybody at Water Authority fault. Here's the problem we are facing with, and I'm sorry that y'all having to go through this issue. What we got was the minister in another section of the media saying that the residents in Sherbourne...
Really? Was that said that?
They were attributed to Mr. Abraham. Mm-hmm. And it was carried in the Barbados today, online paper. Mm-hmm. If that was said to Mr. Abraham by whoever, I don't know, and I really don't care. If that was said to Mr. Abraham, I would think that you should be more politically mature and politically asked you to tell the person, well, look, you know, what those residents are going through is something that none of us will wish to go through. I don't care if they are being political or not. That is not my concern right now. My concern right now is to get up there with them, find some solutions, hear what they have to say.
Understood.
And let put our heads together and come up with a workable solution.
Now, were you satisfied with the explanation I was giving to you this morning?
Well, to be honest with you, I did not hear all.
You didn't hear all of it. Okay.
I was called by...
Basically, in short, the minister indicated that they have not switched on off anybody's water.
Well, yeah, that part I heard.
Right. And this idea that they are supposed to leave it on for 2 hours and they're turning it off after they turn it on at 5 a.m. and... He's saying it has nothing to do with that. It has simply to do with the fact that there is no water. There's no water to switch on or switch off. And he agreed that it is unacceptable, but for all intents and purposes, it is what it is. Is that an acceptable explanation to you regarding the whole question of their inability to give you a specific time and day that you will receive water? The fact that they can't tell you that because they frankly don't have any water to give.
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I understand that part. But what I'm saying too, the minister could have found a way to communicate with the residents in Sherbourne. You didn't even have to come.
No, I understand. I get that. I just trying to walk through it step by step. And I'm saying the information you think is acceptable, but your challenge really is you believe that the mode of delivery for the communication leaves a lot to be desired.
too much to be desired.
Yeah, no,
and for speculation.
No, and I got that, because certainly him coming to the program has helped to alleviate your concerns regarding what the issue is. And when I spoke to the lady yesterday that prompted this whole conversation, it was clear to me that she did not have a clue what was going on, and she didn't understand a lot of the basic issues surrounding it, like no householder would, because a lot of people in St. Michael that get water every day don't really understand all the mechanics behind it, and they don't care to. They don't need to. They want to know that when you turn on the tap, there's water, full stop. Okay? In terms of alternative solutions, no, and the couple of them that have been presented, which is that they're looking at the desal options in larger, more seriousness, and they're looking at rerouting water supplies from elsewhere. Do you think that these are the kinds of things that would work for you?
I guess so, because that's one of the things that I said on Facebook. St. John is a place that is surrounded by beaches. It is surrounded by springs, also St. Joseph and what's not. Could they not have used some money to build a desal plant up somewhere in St. John, down Bath, let me say for instance, to push water to the areas that ain't getting water?
Right. And in theory, he has accepted that that would be the ideal solution, but he has indicated that there is A, no brackish water supply available, which means that you would have to use seawater to desal the seawater. And it also means that the cost is quite prohibitive. And right now, the cost is beyond the capacity of the Water Authority. Nonetheless, they are looking into funding arrangements. That doesn't do a lot to make you happy, because ultimately, you really need to get the same water that I get in when the mornings come.
Right? Yeah.
So that really is what it comes down to. But it seems to me that the issue is probably best solved with reference to the construction of a desal plant. Either that or temporary desalination facilities.
But even a temporary one could suffice for now.
Yeah, but the challenge is going to be to pay for it. But, you know, ultimately the money has to be found. So, all right, sir, but I'm happy that you called, and I'm happy that notwithstanding the fact that the minister is not here, that you put your issues on the table. And I think that we are very clear that there is an issue regarding communication that has to be dealt with sooner rather than later. My sense is that a town hall meeting, which would have to be done virtually now, would do a lot to give people a level of comfort that they're being heard and that the issues are being put on the table. Having said that, though, he did say, and I don't know if you heard that in his conversation, the minister did say that there's not a day that he doesn't speak to the minister responsible for St. John. And almost every day he speaks to him, and almost every day he raises these issues and demands that there's a resolution to them. And almost every day, nothing happens. So
okay,
it seems though Mr. Griffith is on top of things, but the challenge is that they just can't seem to find the resources to deal with the problem.
But okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, as we said, communication was seriously lacking.
Yeah.
Mr. Griffith himself also, I saw a video with him on Sunday that he did of call in Inside Talk, where he is saying that, and even if he meant it in a good way, but it gave the wrong impression, where he was saying that in response to a video that was put together by Sherbourne residents, making it sound, anybody would think then that, this was something planned. Sherbourne residents planned this video. The media came up here, and we were speaking to the media about the challenges we are having with the water.
And they recorded it.
And what's not. Somebody recorded it and put it on Facebook and what's not. It went viral. So for him to say that it was a put together, I think that the minister, both ministers, need to come and apologize to Sherbourne people for those, that kind of nonsense. I am one that will not take it at all. I am not going to accept that. It is foolishness.
Okay.
You need to come here, see what we are going through, hold our hands, walk us through it, talk to us, communicate. Huh? But no, you can get and sit down in different sections of the media and record things and talk this kind of foolishness.
All right.
I sick and tired of the palaver.
All right, sir. Thank you for your views, and I just hope that the relevant authorities are listening and hearing the pain that you are enduring at this point in time. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Hi, afternoon, ma'am.
Yeah, I am a first-time caller, and I hope to be as articulate as I possibly can for the next, if you bear with me, for the next few minutes.
You have as much time as you need. Welcome.
Yeah, firstly, I can understand the frustrations with the water victims in Barbados because I grew up in Sharp Hill, and I have an aunt that lives in St. Peter. So I know the woes all too well, even before COVID-19, about the water woes, but just to drift from that a bit. About 3 weeks ago, when this whole thing started with COVID-19 and Barbados, the Honorable Prime Minister made a statement saying that NCC, they had no idea what I was talking about, even though I heard it with my ears, and there were quotations within the media houses.
Are you licensed?
Yes, I am licensed. I am licensed, most definitely.
Yeah, the Prime Minister did say that the process of licensure was being used to allow persons who are licensed to access funding from national insurance. And that's what I heard.
Okay.
So I think you probably called the wrong agency. Basically, what she's saying is that in lieu of your making contributions to national insurance, once you are a licensed vendor, whether it will be on the beach or off the beach, you are entitled to assistance from your national insurance. So I think you need to speak to NAS and find out what is the procedure through which you can apply using your license as a vendor as a basis for that application. That's what I heard. Right.
Okay. However, I called the House Mitigation Unit, and they said that, yes, we are covered with the under them as far as receiving some sort of funding within the next 3 months.
Right.
So they were confirming what I said, what I heard the Prime Minister say at one of our press conferences, and what the media hosts said as well.
So what's the problem?
Pardon me?
What's the problem then?
Go ahead. Then I called the House Mitigation Unit. They took my information confirming what I had said or whatever the case is. I don't even want to say over the who I spoke to at the House Mitigation Unit. It was an okay process. They said that they would give a call back. Blah, blah, blah. They call, they ask my NAS number, whatever the case is, they would handle it. Each week, they would give an update. This last, let me say about a couple of days ago, they turned and said they are not handling the beach vendors anymore. The People's Empowerment is not handling the beach vendors. And I was given another 7 numbers to call. When I finally got through to a person, they said that I have to speak to a social worker where they would interview and approve what is the procedure. While speaking to this particular person's in the background crying on who is supposed to qualify, who is not supposed to qualify, and this is a government entity. Now, my thing is, what is it really? Because no, you, within even calling this program, I am hearing something totally different as far as you saying you heard of the Prime Minister saying that the NAS is the ones who will cover it, and that's in another further stretch. Because I heard you say to a caller earlier that just bear with the NAS situation because it is a burdensome situation for all.
Mm.
So what is it really? No one is having to know what is really going on. Besides the persons who are stipulating when and where you're going to the supermarket, as though they are the ones who are important, that's number one. Number two, SurePay is open for people to go and pay bills. Now, if I am not qualified to get this money or whatever the case is, and people don't know this or people don't know that, how am I to make sure that even the internet, which in the Honorable Prime Minister, whoever is approving the SurePay outlets is to be open, how am I to go now to pay my digital bill to make sure, like the Honorable Sandhya Bradshaw said yesterday, to make sure that my digital bill do not be cut off so my son could participate in online learning. Nobody seems to know nothing when the tourism sector is the main sector that has been dismantled. My mother works in the tourism sector too. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to have the answers because I know for certain when I spoke to the House Mitigation Unit, the first week in April, they confirmed what I was saying.
Mom, you're upset, right? And I understand why you're upset, right? I told you the story of a gardener that I know who will work for $100 and take that $100 to the supermarket, right? That individual has not worked in well over a month now because of the COVID, right? What am I to say to him, ma'am?
Yes.
What am I to say to him? He does not work in tourism. He does not work in the tourism sector. He works in, he's privately employed, and he works basically where he can find work. And he has not worked in a month, and he has a family to feed. What am I to say to him?
But at least
what, ma'am?
During this whole process, I have a few numbers I can give him. Because with his situation, there's clarity. There's a doctor.
Ma'am, there's no clarity. There is no clarity for him either.
I am glad that you have now made that public and saying there's no clarity.
But ma'am, you know why you think that I am upset in terms of my reaction? I am just saying to you, right? You have called and you have presented a challenge to me, and you have said basically that from the beginning you were given assurances that you would be taken care of. Substantial time has passed and you have not been taken care of. And you are concerned that you can't get money to pay your bills, to take care of your children, to do that. What I have done, ma'am, and I'm not angry or upset, is that I have explained to you the situation of a person who is not in your sector, who has not had the benefit of any assurances from anyone, because nowhere in terms of what the Prime Minister has said were gardeners who are privately employed, who work from week to week, mentioned in that conversation, because he's not a licensed vendor and there's no money for him put down anywhere. But he has the same challenges as you. He has a child that is preparing for 11 plus, just like you. He has commitments educationally that have to be followed. He doesn't have the assurances that you are having. He's also upset. And I'm asking you, ma'am, what am I to say to him?
I don't know what you, Mr. Wickham, are to say. Nobody has any assurances either.
Right. And an important point you have just made, ma'am. You have said nobody has any insurances. Nobody has any assurances regarding this matter. And the point that I am trying to get over to you is that when the Prime Minister says all of us are in this together, that is exactly what they mean. Ma'am, you will struggle to find a person that has not been hit by this crisis. You will struggle because all over Barbados, people are involved in tourism, but even people who are not involved in tourism, all of us struggling. I personally have also been hit. And I mean, some of us have better capacity to withstand those hits than others. But there is not a person in Barbados that could say, well, I haven't really noticed life any different. So all I'm saying to you, ma'am, is that don't get angry. Don't get annoyed, because you have heard on this program today and from me just now that there are other people who are in as bad situations or worse because some of them can't get water when the morning come. And they're upset, and they got a right to be upset. Your problem is a problem that can be managed. And I'm saying, instead of getting angry and flying off the handle, take a cool head, try and see if you can reach somebody from National Insurance and see if you can track down what exactly is happening. Because at least you have something that the gardener does not have. You have a commitment. And you can rest assured that somewhere along the line, you will get your assistance because you are a licensed vendor and you have been specially provided for. The problem you are having is that it is taking too long and you feel as though you are getting turned around. And I'm saying
you
that part of the reason, ma'am.
Can I have an input? Because I have one other point that I want to say before I go on, then I'll give the floor to you again. You are saying that I am taken care of. I am saying that I do not have clarity on that, and I just wish clarity on that so I would know.
Were you not told at the beginning that as a licensed vendor, you will be taken care of?
Pardon me?
Were you not told in the Prime Minister's speech that as a licensed vendor, you will be taken care of?
When I spoke to the People's Empowerment Ministry, right.
Hang on a second. Were you not told that you will be taken care of at the beginning in terms of a statement that the Prime Minister has made?
And today, the 21st or 20th of April, I am hearing something different.
Right. And what I am saying to you, ma'am, is that the little assurance that you have been given, the molecule of an assurance that you have been given is more than the assurance that the gardener I referred to has been given. Because he hasn't been given any assurance, right? So the fact of the matter is that you had a bath this morning?
Yes, I did.
Right. The gentleman I spoke to just now, who lives in St. John, has not had a bath for 3 months. Well, I hope he has had a bath, but he has not had a bath in his house for 3 months because he hasn't had running water.
And I am telling you.
So all I'm saying, ma'am, is that I understand your challenges and I understand that you're upset. But don't make it seem as though you are in the worst situation, because ultimately you are in a situation you can navigate your way out of.
How do you know that?
All right, no problem. What's the other point you were making?
How are you aware of that?
All right, no problem, ma'am. Then you're the worst. You're in the worst situation ever, and you have every right to feel that you are the worst, being treated the worst out of this crisis than anybody else.
How are you aware of that?
But that's what you're telling me. If that's what you're telling me, and you feel comfortable in saying that, then carry on smartly.
I am asking for clarity. I am asking for the clarity. That's it.
No problem. What's the other point?
Like you said, everybody isn't given assurances. However, when there is the press conference, right, or
no problem, ma'am. Ma'am, you said you wanted to make a third point. Please make the third point, because there are other people that want to get on the program.
I'm moving on to that.
All right, please
do. When you said that I am given a clarity or assurances or whatever the case is, apart from this program where I feel a lot better because I was able to blow off some steam, how is the powers that be listening to the people of Barbados? And I don't mean the private sector. I don't mean the owners of the supermarkets. I'm talking about the grassroots people, the people that are directly affected, like the same gardener. Apart from Down to Brass Tacks program, where you will be judged by what you say, where is the people, how is the government?
How would you like the government to hear you? Because I can tell you, all right, how would you like the government to listen to you? You tell me, and then I will tell you what I've been doing.
Right? I have no idea.
No, you tell me. What would you like to have happen?
I have.
Would you like
no
them to summon a town hall meeting?
You can't do town hall meetings with the social distancing practices or whatever the cases, and the curfew that every day is being suited and tweaked to particular people. How is the government of Barbados?
You would like the curfew to be lifted altogether, so you'd be able to walk around and talk to people
you
and
never heard
socialize.
Me say that.
But you I'm asking you. Tell
that.
Me, what should they do?
How it is that the government of Barbados and the powers that be, apart from listening to the people that are being abundantly affected by this pandemic, how is the government of Barbados, besides this pandemic, listening to the people who are directly affected, like the gardener?
Well, you know, and I want to thank you for your contribution, ma'am, which ends here. And let me just say this to you, that I am fortunate, or unfortunate as the case may be, to know a couple of members of parliament who I have spoken to on occasion. One of them I just spoke to a few minutes ago on the air. And they will tell you that they have been doing nothing else other than listening to people on the ground since this whole crisis started. The telephone doesn't start ringing. They have all of the agencies that are involved and dealing with these issues on a daily basis. They're dealing with the gardeners, the maids, the artisans, the home care workers that are trying to seek assistance. That's all they've been doing. The telephones have not stopped ringing. People have not stopped coming by their houses. And this is not the case for a few people. This is the case for pretty much every person that I have spoken to. And you know what, ma'am, I can tell you? I spoke to leaders in Antigua and Barbuda, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, in St. Kitts and Nevis, in Dominica, to ministers and members of parliament. All of them are saying the same thing. From morning till night, right through, you are being asked for water. You're being asked for help. You're being asked for this, for that. Groceries, and essentially they are all scrambling to do what they can to give assistance. The calls are not illegitimate. The problem is that we don't have methods of communication that are public enough to deal with these kinds of situations so that people will feel that your calls are being answered, as in the case of a town hall meeting. You can't have a town hall meeting, no. But that's not to say that leaders are not listening. When I say leaders, I mean in a general sense. Your complaints are no different to complaints that are coming through in St. Vincent and the Grenadines and then Bekwe and those kinds of places. And everybody's complaining and saying the same thing. And all I'm saying to you, ma'am, is just appreciate that your problems are not unique or peculiar. Everyone is having the same challenges. And there are some persons who are having greater challenges than you as well. And everybody is being dealt with, and everybody will be reached, hopefully. But you gotta understand that it is not normal times, and it's not easy. So you gotta be fair, you can't be harsh. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome, you're on the program. Good afternoon and welcome. You are on the program. 434-1780. Good afternoon and welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm calling from Hinsdale, St. John.
Sure.
We've been having water problems for years. And in particular, when the crop season comes around, the water is turned off. I've seen myself that they turn off the water at night and sometimes even early in the morning when person has to get like 5 o'clock bus. You can't forget water. Water comes on late many times. So the water in St. John has been a big problem. And, you know, even no one has even put a tank up here. Anyway, here still the top of court show where when the issues where people can get water.
So when you get water, how do you get it?
Well, for me personally, I have a tank
by
my house.
And they fill it up or you fill it up?
No. Right now we get water will come on sometimes like maybe an hour two hours sometimes during the day.
And that would be enough to hopefully top you up for a while.
Well, obviously, sometimes it goes because you may do more washing, body machine, and your beard, wash mirrors and different things. So sometimes that goes and sometimes you're left probably out until the morning. You probably got to wait until the morning because it doesn't come back on really right now at night. So really and truly is left in a quandary. So I'm saying then that there needs to be a tank somewhere in the top of Court Shield, between Court Shield and here and still. Where, I mean, as I say, I have tank, but there obviously are the people who don't have a tank.
And the ones who don't have tank, where do they go? How do they go?
Rarely do we see a trucker here. I mean, I come up many times from when we were working and stuff. Like, if I come from town, we see a truck. Probably don't believe it. Cleve has a big problem, but I mean, they rarely you see a truck pass it here. The truck passed here a few Sundays ago. I think it was on. The pipe was on, so nobody really. I don't think I had to get water from the truck. But when the water is off, I don't see a truck here.
But where do the people go? They catch water and bring it over the hill.
Well, I don't know where they get water from, but I think I got a tank here, so I use the water I get from the tank. But generally, I don't want to see a trucker here, so I don't know where the people get water from. I think there was a tank put down in the bottom court shell lately. One was put down in the bottom court shell. But I haven't seen before.
So your concerns are well noted, and I do think that it's certainly the most egregious thing I've heard all day, that on top of all of the other issues you have to be dealing with these water wards. All I can tell you is that were you satisfied with the explanations that were given by the minister and the technical
person? No, we're just regurgitating things over and over the years. We regurgitating things. They have really no improvement. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse as far as St. John is concerned with water. Because you will get intermittent outages of water. But nowadays, and as the guy said from Sherbourne, they will say stipulate certain days, Mondays, Wednesdays, and such, so you get water. But you're not getting water no whole day, no half a day. But 12 o'clock for sure, water gone. So, I mean, it is worse. And we're just playing the blame game. But this time something is done. We have springs up here, all concept, bath, cousins and cousins, pot house. There's a man down bath, down there, the whole of bath.
Just
getting water from the one down by the poor down back.
Just be clear though that they're not turning off anyone's water. So that's the point that has to be made. It's not that they're turning off the water. It is just that that's the situation. All right, sir. I want to thank you for your contribution. We're going to try and take a couple more calls. We're almost on 2 o'clock. I have a gentleman who wrote and said, "PD, you handle yourself well just now. I would like to know where I can pay my illegal parking ticket," which is an interesting way of saying that, you know, priorities depends on the issues that people have. Peter, even though I understand the lady's plight, she comes across as being very selfish. There are persons who have been paying their contributions for years and have not received unemployment checks yet. Furthermore, there are persons that have not been paying. Very selfish. Somebody says, "The woman never said she was unique, so nobody's there to voice her issues unless they are under most distress regionally. Why did you attack the woman so?" The call is saying that she's quarreling over money that isn't even hers, but government had the mercy to give. Ungrateful. And then a final one is that Peter said, "The lady gonna lick you." Well, that would be interesting. Right, there you go. Anyhow, this is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Coming on the final stretch. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm good. And yourself?
I am okay. This good. Is the first time I'm interacting with you.
Okay. Welcome to the program.
And I know see why you react that way, because you held yourself, you're determined. they could only mention one of the better schools, in, the best school in Barbados.
This is Foundation or Eagle Hall?
Foundation.
Foundation, yes.
Foundation, the top of the class.
That's right.
So I know, see, where you portray that calmness and that patience. But my call really is about the journalists in Barbados. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
We don't really have no journalists in Barbados. We have reporters. And I'm appalled at whenever there's a press conference, you have reporters asking questions that are not relevant or repetitive of what was said before. We need to get journalists that come to the fore and ask questions that would make these things good. Because I think that I think you would do a better job.
I'm not a journalist, though.
But you do a better job. We got reporters. We are not. If we have, like, the editor come to the top of the class, Dennis Johnson, Frank Price, you, even the Admiral, your co-host, Frank Price, these are people that should be sent to press conferences so that they will enlighten the public and be satisfied. I was very, very disappointed in the last two press conferences where you had from the Nation, the Advocate, and Barbados Today, questions that a schoolboy was asked the first time and not do same thing. I believe they don't do no research, and not doing any research, they come just to play the fool. They are not ready, and we need to get back to the basis of being a true journalist so they can enlighten the people of Barbados, because, you know, we have reporters doing journalist job, and they're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. My next point is some Barbadians is forgetting where we are at this critical juncture. They believe that it is business as usual, and until they learn that it's not business as usual and appreciate what we have, you will be a better person, because Barbados have a lot to be thankful for, despite the hardship, but we don't expect it to be like this forever. All you're going to do is cut and contrive, and I will like Larry Mears, when he come on, to play that song, Come With The Cost by RPB, and let the Barbadians sit down and listen to the words and say, yes, this is appropriate for this thing.
He's nodding his head approvingly, so you will be... Your calls will be counted by RPB, Larry's first segment. Ma'am, I want to thank you for your contribution, and certainly the point has to be made that, you know, in this situation, all of us are feeling some pain, and I think you're very right, ma'am, that we have to remember that there's always somebody who is worse off. In this crisis, that's one of the things that have come across clearly to me, that the level of suffering that has been imposed on a lot of people very quickly ain't easy. You spend a few minutes watching television internationally, and it becomes pretty clear that everywhere there is somebody who is worse off than somebody else. And, you know, it's not a time where we need to forget that. We have to remember that. Well, thank you for a very exciting and engaging program. I want to thank all of you for calling to making the program well. Special thanks also to the Minister, Mr. Wilfred Abrams, and also Mr. Keith Halliday, who joined us from the Barbados Water Authority to try to give some light to the issues that have been going on there. Certainly the problems that are there are not being solved, have not been solved, but I think it is useful for people to know and have the opportunity to hear that there is a conversation about how they can best be solved or how quickly they can be solved. So that's some hope. Special thanks also to the production team, or well, the team leader, which would be Mr. John Stout. I want to thank him for his excellent production support during the course of the program. I look forward to being with you next Tuesday again on Down to Brass Tacks. Until then, do take care of yourself.